Okay, good morning. First of all, I apologize for hopefully my voice will hold out. Two sponsorships. First of all, this year is sponsored by OMO Construction and David and Paul Bounzer. And it's also, and the breakfast is sponsored
For the newborn Adel, Fagabat Adel.
Fagabat Adel, okay, good. All right, we're starting, we're on Chav, today's daf is Chav Ches, but we're a little behind. We're starting on Chav Zayin on Amud Beis. Smack in the middle almost, at actually the very end of the narrow lines. Amar Rav Chiya bar Avin. So we're talking now about the possibility of davening early, davening Marv early, even on an Erev Shabbos or on a Shabbos, where that conflicts with the astronomical reality of it still being light on an Erev Shabbos or still being light on Shabbos, not yet being Motzei Shabbos, and are you allowed to do that? So Amar Rav Chiya bar Avin, Rav said, Rav Tzoli Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. Rav would daven early on Friday afternoon. He would daven Kabbalah Shabbos. He would daven the Marav of Shabbos and the Shemoneh Esrei of Shabbos, even though it was still light on Friday afternoon. And similarly, Rav Yoshia Matzli Meshamotzoi Shabbos B'Shabbos. On Shabbos afternoon, he would already daven Saturday night's Tfilas Arvis Shel Chol when it was still Shabbos. Rav Tzoli Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. Omer Kedusha Alakos, Oino Omer Kedusha Alakos. So when Rav davened Shabbos early, took on Shabbos early, what we do commonly, taking in Shabbos early, and he davened the Friday night Marav on Friday afternoon, did he then go ahead and go home and start and make Kiddush already and start a Suda? Was that okay also? Tashma, Domer Rav Nachman, Omer Shmuel, he said, Mispal Adam Shel Shabbos, Be'erev Shabbos. You can daven as Rav did. The Friday night davening on Friday afternoon, the Omer Kedusha Alakos. And you could not only do that, but you could actually accept Shabbos fully and say Kiddush, go home and have your meal. Vilchasa Kavaseh. And in fact, Halacha is like him, and that's what we do. This is a common practice. We do this, we take in Shabbos early. Rav Yoshia Matzli, now, so that's kind of the easier one, because that's adding to Shabbos. That's a little easier to understand. At least we do it all the time. It's easier to understand you could add to Shabbos. What about, in essence, in a way, taking away from Shabbos? You're davening now the Chol Shmoneh Esrei on Shabbos afternoon. Rav Yoshia, we just said, Matzli Shel Motzoi Shabbos B'Shabbos. He would daven early on Shabbos afternoon. Omer Avdala Alkos, Oino Omer Avdala Alkos. Can he now go ahead, go home, and actually say Avdala on a coast? Now, clearly, he's not going to be able to light a candle. He's not going to be able to do that because it's still light out. It's still Shabbos. You can't end Shabbos early in that sense. But can you, at least verbally, you've already said, as we've seen the Chol Shmoneh Esrei, you've said a Chol Marav, can you daven, can you say Havdalah Alakos? So Tashma, we bring a proof, to Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, he said, Mispal Adam Shel Motzoi Shabbos B'Shabbos, you can daven Saturday night Marav early, V'Omer Havdalah Alakos, and not only that, you could actually say Havdalah Alakos. It's not a problem. Amar Rabbi Zeir, Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rav, they all said in the name of Rav, Bitzad Amud Zeh, Hispalo Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, Shal Shabbos, Be'erev Shabbos. So they said, this isn't just a theoretical halacha. Rav actually said that he saw Rabbi Shmuel, the son of Rabbi Yossi, daven Friday night, or Friday afternoon, Friday night's davening, Shabbos is davening, right by this pillar, Bitzad Amud Zeh. Kiyasa Ua, when Ula came, Amar Bitzad Tamara Hava. So Ula corrected them. The story was a little wrong. He said, first of all, it wasn't by that pillar. It was by that date tree. Bitzad Tamara Hava V'lo Bitzad Amadzeh. It wasn't by that pillar. It was by the date tree. V'lo Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi Hava. It wasn't Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. El Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yossi. I have the wrong person. It was Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yossi Hava. V'lo Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. And it wasn't Friday afternoon, davening Friday night's davening Hava. Rather, it was Shabbos afternoon davening, Motzei Shabbos is davening. So you got the whole thing wrong, but it proves, or at least is a demonstration that at least he held that you're allowed to do that on Motzei Shabbos, on Shabbos afternoon, taking it in early. So it seems from this sugya that the halacha is twofold. You're allowed to bring in Shabbos early, as we know, and you're allowed to also daven Marav of Motzei Shabbos early on Shabbos afternoon, which is a little surprising. Tosfos points out, the big Tosfos, not big, the medium-sized Tosfos in the middle, Tzoli Shel Motzei Shabbos, that this is only in a situation where you're really pressed to do so, where you have a mitzvah to run to, you have to run to the airport to catch a flight to Israel, and the only way to do it is to go home and daven Marav early and somehow literally jump in the Uber right as you're finishing Aleinu. That's the situation where this would apply to. But he says, Aval b'chinam lo, you're not allowed to just do this because you want to catch a movie or because, you know, for any other reason. It has to be for some kind of dvar mitzvah. And I think the Mishnah Brura says that nowadays we don't even rely on this. So don't be making on this. Certainly not in the ordinary course, says Tosfos. Okay, now we're going to get into a sugya that leads into probably one of the most famous stories in Brachos, maybe one of the most famous stories in Shas, but it all revolves around a halachic debate that arose with respect to Maariv. The Mishnah said, Tfilah sa'ariv ein la keva, that Maariv is ein la keva, which literally means it has no boundaries, it's not fixed. So the Gemara immediately says, "My ingla keva." What does that even mean? That it has no boundaries; it's not fixed. Ilema di boy matzli ku elaila. If what it means is what it sounds like off the bat, it sounds like there's no time boundaries. You could say it all night. So the Gemara says, if that's what it means, listen tefila sa'arev kol halayla. Then it should have said much more directly. You can daven marav all night. Why does it say it has no boundary? Ela my ingla keva. Rather, what does it mean? It has no boundary. Command Amar, or it's not fixed. Command Amar, Tfilas Arvis Rishus. It's siding with the opinion that Tfilas Arvis Rishus, which literally means Tfilas Arvis is optional. That Maariv is optional. Let's just finish off the sentence, then we'll define what that means. Damar Av Yudamar Shmuel. They quote Shmuel saying Tfilas Arvis Maariv that we say every night. Raman Gamliel Omer Chova. So there's a machlokas. Raman Gamliel, who was a nasi at the time, he said Chova. He said it's absolutely obligatory, just like Shacharis, just like Mincha. Maariv is also obligatory. Rabbi Yoshua Omer Rishus. And Rabbi Yoshua says it's optional. Amar Abaye, Halacha Kedivrei Omer Chova. Abaye says that we paskin like Raman Gamliel, who says it's mandatory. V'Rava Amar Halacha Kedivrei Omer Rishus. And Rava, who we usually paskin like against Abaye, except for the six cases in Shas where we don't, Rava says that we actually paskin like Rabbi Yoshua, who says that Tfilas Maariv is Rishus, is optional. Now, before we go ahead and cut out Tfilas Maariv when it's not convenient, if you look at Tosfos, the second to last Tosfos, he defines, or they define what Tfilas Maariv is Rishus means. Second to last Tosfos says, Halacha k'divrei omer Rishus. Lav dafka rishus. This doesn't literally mean that it's optional. Ela kedepricious leel, lekach nikra rishus luvatla avor mitzvah acheres haoveres. It means that if there's some kind of conflict you have to some kind of immediate pressing mitzvah, that's you're going to lose the opportunity to do this mitzvah, you can do the mitzvah rather than do the davening. It's not considered a mitzvah overes in the sense that another mitzvah overes will trump it. And that's what it means when we say that it is rishus, it's optional. But in the ordinary course of business, in ordinary circumstances, you have to daven maariv, it is required. The Mefarshim talk about it. I think Rashi, even elsewhere, says, why is it that arvis, that maariv, has this special characteristic of being rishus, of being optional, in the sense that if there's another pressing mitzvah, you can that other mitzvah will trump it? The answer is that maariv, If you think about it, is keneged the haktaras emurim on the mizbeach, right? There are two opinions in the Gemara on daf chaf vav, right? A few dafim ago we saw that there are two opinions of tefila keneged avos tiknum or keneged karbanos tiknum, right? One opinion of the Gemara is that shacharis is keneged Avram, mincha is keneged Yitzchak, maariv is keneged Yaakov. The other opinion is that they parallel the karbanos. Shachar is keneged the tamid shel shachar, mincha is keneged the tamid shel bein arabayim, and maariv is keneged the haktaras evarim on the mizbeach. The haktaras evarim on the mizbeach, meaning the burning of the entrails of the insides of the animal on the mizbeach, that would be stay on the mizbeach and just burn all night. But if that didn't happen, if for some reason you failed to burn the innards of the animal on the mizbeach, that is not ma'akev. It wouldn't nullify the carbon. The carbon's still good, even if you fail to do that. So since that's true, that's the basis for this idea of tefilas arvis rishus, and that's why we paskin like that. But again, as Tosfos points out, it just means that if you have a mitzvah veris, a pressing mitzvah that conflicts with it, that mitzvah will trump it. It doesn't mean that you could unilaterally decide not to daven ma'ariv one night. Okay, just one more point on this. If you look at the bottom Tosfos, Vilchas HaKavaseh Derav, we paskin like this opinion that Tfilas Arvis is Rishus. A nafkamina for that is Tosfos says, V'nira do'kach tiknu psukim v'kadish ben gulu v'tfila d'rishusim. If you remember, back on Daf Dalid, I believe it was, yeah, Tosfos even points to Daf Dalid, we said that there is a mitzvah mismach gulu v'tfila. At Shacharis, we're very, very makbid on this, right? We don't have make any interruption between the bracha of Gal Yisrael and the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei because we want to connect gula, the bracha of gula, of redemption, immediately to the idea of tefillah. And so the Gemara in Daf Dalet talks about the fact that this isn't true only by Shacharis, but at least according to one opinion, it's true by Ma'ariv also. And the Gemara there asked, well, if that's true, how do you have the bracha of Hashkivenu in the middle? You have Gal Yisrael, but then you don't go straight into Ma'ariv. You have the bracha of Hashkivenu. And the Gemara there answered, Hashkivenu is considered a gula richta. That's consistent with the theme. Hashkivenu is Hashem protecting us, and so it's consistent with the theme of gula. So that's not really an interruption. But Tosfos back there on Daf Dalet says, well, that covers Hashkivenu, but what about the fact that we add Baruch Hashem Leolam in the middle for the people who do? And there's a Kaddish in the middle. So you're throwing in interruption after interruption at Ma'ariv and not connecting gula with tefila. So one of the answers that Tosfos gave back on Daf Dalet was, that's also consistent with the theme. Once Chazal say you say it, it's all part of the formula and it's not really an interruption. But the other answer that Tosfos gave there is that Tfilas Arvis is Rishus. It's kind of on a lower level because it's quote unquote optional, as we've been saying. And that's why, and that's what this Tosfos is saying also, that's why we're a little more loosey-goosey with this connection between Gula and Tfilah by Ma'ariv, whereas we're not by Shacharis. That's what this Tosfos says. Okay. Now, this debate about whether Tfilas Ma'ariv is Rishus, is optional or required, and again, when we say optional, we just mean that it gets trumped by a mitzvah overis, by an immediate mitzvah that whose time is going to pass, it leads into a very interesting and fascinating story that happened. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara says, Maisa b'Talmud Echad, Shaba lifnei Rabbi Yoshua. So there was a certain student who came to Rabbi Yoshua, Amrlei, Tfilas Arvis Rishus Rechovah. And he said to Rabbi Yeshua, what's the halacha? Is Tfilas Arvis Rishus? Is it optional or is it mandatory? So Amrlei Rishus. So Rabbi Yeshua answered, Tfilas Arvis is Rishus, as we've been saying. Ba'lifnei Rabban Gamliel. He then came to Rabban Gamliel, who was the Nasi. Amrlei Tfilas Arvis Rishus Rechovah. Is Tfilas Arvis Rishus or is it Chovah? Is it optional or mandatory? Amrlei Chovah. He said it's obligatory. So we seem to have a machogis, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Gamliel. Amar lei, so he said, the Talmud said to Rabbi Gamliel, Valo Rabbi Yeshua, Amar lei Rishus. Why do you say it's mandatory? Rabbi Yeshua told me it's optional. Amar lei, so Rabbi Gamliel said, Hamtein ad shiach kansu bali treisin lebeis hamedrash. He said, okay, this seems to be a raging debate. Let's wait until the real big Talmud come to the Beis Medrash and we'll fight it out. We'll discuss the issue and we'll try to figure it out. Kishenichnesu Bali Treisin, when the big Talmud came to the Beis Medrash, Amad HaShoel Vishoel. So the person who was designated to kind of set the agenda for the day stood up in the Beis Medrash and he said, Tfilas Arvis Rishus Uchova. He banged on the table. He said, is Tfilas Arvis Rishus Uchova? Debate amongst yourselves. So Amar Lei Rabban Gamliel. So Rabban Gamliel said Chova. He said, "I hold that it's mandatory." Amar Lahen Rabban Gamliel Chachamim, Kum Yesh Adam Shecholik B'Davar Zeh. Rabban Gamliel went a step further and he said, "I hold it's mandatory. Is there anyone who disagrees with me?" So Amar Lei Rabbi Yeshua Lav. So Rabbi Yeshua, remember, Rabbi Yeshua was the one who privately told the person who had asked that it's optional. So Rabbi Yeshua stood up and he said, no, no one disagrees with you. No one disagrees with you. So Amar Lei, so Rabbi Gamliel said to Rabbi Yeshua, V'alo mishmecha amruli rishus. He said, how can you, Rabbi Yeshua, be the one who's telling me that there's no one who disagrees with me? You're the very one who, in your name, they said it was optional. So Amar Lei, and he continued and he said, Yeshua amod aragalecha, V'ya'idu bach. He said, Yoshua, calling him by his first name, stand up and we're going to all give testimony about what you hold. So he really put him on the spot. Amar Rabbi Yoshua Raglav, and Rabbi Yoshua stood up and he realized he was cornered. He realized that it was known that he had paskin, that it's Roshos, and he had just kind of contradicted himself. And he said, if I was alive and you, Rabbi Gamliel, were dead, so then I could stay whatever I want and you wouldn't contradict me. But if I'm alive and you're telling me that you know and you heard explicitly that I hold that it's Roshos, I am a living person. I can't contradict another living person. I'm kind of cornered. And therefore, I retreat. I admit I was the one who said that it's Roshos. And so Rabbi Gamliel kind of continued the focus on Rabbi Yoshua and the embarrassment of Rabbi Yoshua by Rabbi Gamliel going on in the shiur and continuing to teach Torah. And he made Rabbi Yoshua stand up as if he was kind of singled out for this contradiction. And the people started to get restless. They didn't like the fact that Rabbi Yoshua was being treated disrespectfully. Acharanu kol ha'am, until the people started talking and murmuring. V'amar l'chutzpis haturgamun amod. And they told the Metargim, there was a person at the time who would be kind of the loudspeaker. Rabbi Gamliel was giving the shir, and then the chutzpis haturgamun was the one who would announce what he was saying in a louder voice and explain to everyone what was going on. So they told the turgamun, they told the translator, hold on 1 second, we want to interrupt the shir. V'yamad, so chutzpis haturgamun stopped, he stops translating. Amri, and they said, and the people kind of were frustrated with the way Rabbi Gamliel was treating Rabbi Yoshua. Amri, ad kama na'atz revenezil. How much longer are we going to tolerate this kind of behavior where Rabbi Gamliel is being disrespectful to the other Talmidei Chachamim? Barosh Hashanah ishtaked sare. Last Rosh Hashanah there was an incident where Rabbi Gamliel also put Rabbi Yoshua on the spot. In Maseches Rosh Hashanah, it talks about the fact there was a machlokas among the among the Tanaim about the calendar, about how to count the calendar. And Rabbi Yeshua said Rosh Hashanah is this day. Rabbi Gamliel said that Rosh Hashanah is this day. And Rabbi Gamliel, who had the authority because he was the Nasi, he made Rabbi Yeshua appear in front of him with in weekday clothes on Yom Kippur, on the day that he would have counted Yom Kippur, just to demonstrate to everyone that he prevailed and that really today wasn't Yom Kippur. So he put Rabbi Yeshua on the spot in that incident. Bibichoros b'maisad Rabbi Tzadok Tzare. And there was another incident in the Gemara in Bichoros where they talk about whether Rabbi Tzadok, who was a Kohen, had nemanus to designate a certain Bichor, an animal, that he had received a mum. Right? There's an idea that a Bichor, a firstborn animal, goes to the Kohen and it can't be eaten, it can't be shechted and eaten regularly as chulin until it gets a mum, until it gets some kind of blemish. And there's a issue with whether the Kohen himself has nemanus, has veracity to designate a bechor, a mum, because he's a nogei b'davar, he stands to benefit from the fact that he has a mum. So they questioned Rabbi Tzadok's ability to designate the animal as a mum. And again, there Rabbi Gamliel took a strong stance and embarrassed him. And hachanami tzare. And now here's the third instance where Rabbi Gamliel is putting someone on the spot and embarrassing. Tav and Avre, we're going to remove Rabbi Gamliel from his position. So then they had a problem. My Nukumle, who are we going to put in his stead? Nukme, Rabbi Yoshua, if we put Rabbi Yoshua in his stead, Baal Maisahu. He is the one who kind of was the opponent of Rabbi Gamliel in this specific incident. It's not appropriate to kind of elevate his opponent in his stead. Nukme Rabbi Akiva, if we made Rabbi Akiva, Dilma Anishle, Dolesle Zuchos Avos. Rabbi Akiva doesn't have Yichos, and therefore he's not the right person because maybe Rabbi Gamliel is going to Rashi says Rabbi Gamliel is going to somehow punish him, and he's not going to be able to corral his Zuchos Avos in his defense. Ella, who are they going to do? Nukme Rabbi Lazar ben Azaria. Let's appoint Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as the new Nasi because he's got all the high traits. He's a Chacham, Rashi says, and the Gemara continues, Hu Chacham di makshiloi mefarikloi. He's very smart. If he's challenged, he'll be able to answer it. Hu Ashir, he's very wealthy. Di islei pluchei lo bei kesar. He's very wealthy, and therefore, if we have to go and debate with the Caesar and talk about Jewish interests with the Caesar, Afu Azu Palach, he'll be respected by the Caesar because he's wealthy, he'll have that stature, and he'll be able to do that. Vua Siru La Ezra, and he's the 10th generation to Ezra, so he has good yichus, and therefore we will not be able to punish him. Asu Vamrule, so they approached Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria and they said, do you agree to become the Reish Masifta? So he said, I have to check with my wife. I'm not going to accept an appointment. This is good advice. Generally, don't accept a new job without checking with your wife. I need to check with my family. So he went and checked with his wife. And what did she say? So she said, well, there seems to be a lot of upheaval in this position. They just threw out Rabbi Gamliel, who's of high stature. What makes you think that you're going to succeed in this position and stay in it? They might chuck you out the next day. So his answer to her was interesting. Amar lei, v'shtamishinish yumachada b'kasa demukra l'machar lisvar. He said, even if that's true, even if they throw me out the next day, that's not such a terrible outcome. It's better for a person to be considered like a fine crystal, fine glass, and then to break the next day than never to have experienced that level of stature, right? In other words, he's saying, Derech Mashal, why not experience that high stature and then break, but it's better than not having experienced it all, not the end of the world. So Amrulei, so she said, okay, Leslucha Chiyurta. So she said to him, you look very young. You don't really have the presence, the stature of someone who's the leader of the community. You don't have a gray beard, right? So Ahu Yuma Bartamani Sari Shani Hava. Yuma says that he was 18 years old. Israch was famous from our passage from our Pesach Hagadah. Israch Ishlei Nisa, and there was a nace, Be'ahadjule Tamani Sari Dari Chiyurta. And there was a nace that he grew 18 lines of white hair. Hainu Dekamri Rav Elazar ben Azaria Harini Kiven Shivim Shana V'lo Ben Shivim Shana. And that's why when we quote Rav Elazar ben Azaria in that Mishnah, it says, not I am 70 years old, but he says I am like 70 years old because of that nace that happened, that he grew white hair. He appeared as if he was 70 years old. So, and that's what happened. So the nace happened, he grew the white hair. He now had the appearance of someone of the stature who could be the leader of the community, and he became the leader of the community. Tana, we have a brayse that says, Oso Hayom Salku Shomer HaPesach. That day, when he became the Nasi, I keep on saying Nasi, but on the bottom it said Reish Masifta. Do I have the right title? Whatever. When he became the head of the Beis HaMedrash, so at that day they threw out the person who had stood guard, meaning during the tenure of Rabbi Gamliel, he had always been very rigorous as to who he would let into the Beis HaMedrash. It had to have been people of high stature, who Tocho Kibaro, they were not only outwardly pious, but inwardly pious, people who really made the cut. But Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria had a different approach. He was for democratizing the Beis HaMedrash, letting everyone in, and everyone participating in the Limud Torah, and so they got rid of the guards person at the door. And they allowed anyone who wanted to come in to come in. Shaya Rabban Gamliel Machr is because in Rabban Gamliel's tenure he had said the Omer Kol Tamid Shein Tocho Kabar Lo Yikanes Lo Beis Medrash, and he said that anyone who's inside is not like the outside, or is outside is not like the inside. He should not enter the Beis Medrash, and therefore, as a result of this opening of the gates, Sahu Yuma that day Itosfu Kama Safsali, they had to add a bunch of benches to the back of the Beis Medrash to accommodate all the extra people. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Pligi bar Abba Yosef ben Dustoy v'Rabbanan." There was a machlokus between them. Chadam, or one of them says, "Itosu arba mea safsali." They added 400 benches. That's a lot of benches. The Chadam are sheva mea safsali, and when the other says they added 700 benches. Now, as a result of this, Rabbi Gamliel is watching what's going on. That they opened all the doors, and all these extra people are now learning Torah. Have a kachol shel daiti to Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel became very dejected, and he realized he started to feel guilty that he had stopped all these people from learning Torah all these years, because now as soon as they open the doors, they fill the Beis Medrash. So Amar Dilma Chas V'Shalom Menati Torah Yisrael. Maybe Chas V'Shalom, I caused all these people to not learn Torah. Achsuei Bechalme. So he had a dream. He went to sleep that night, and he had a dream. And he saw in his dream, Chatzvi Chiyure Demalian Kitma. He saw a bunch of jugs that were filled with ashes. And the Gemara, the Rashi explains that this was a mushal for the fact that, in fact, the people who were added to the Beis Medrash that he had all those years kept out weren't of such high caliber. He shouldn't really feel so bad. They were just kind of the equivalent of ashes in jugs. But the Gemara points out, Velohi, that wasn't the reality of the situation. Ahilu Yusuve Daitehu. That was just to make him feel a little better. In reality, all these people that had been kept out of the Beis Medrash were of high quality, and they should have been learning. And so really this was kind of a strike against Rabbi Gamliel, but as a chesed to him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu caused him to have a dream that kind of pacified him and didn't make him feel too guilty.
Do you think that they should have removed the guard the day right afterwards? It feels like it's
too sudden a measure, it's like too quick.
It reminds me of like when a new president comes, like the day after, when the executive order is, getting rid of everything beforehand. It should have been a little like settling period.
That would have been a little easier for Rabbi Gamliel to swallow, maybe, if it would have been a slow transition.
Rabbi Gamliel knows that his dream wasn't just a placate.
You know, Rabbi Gamliel knew that? You think?
He knows now.
Now he knows. That's right. They spilled the beans. Okay.
I mean, it must have been a big point of contention in the whole, the whole argument that they always had. Not to compare, but shul had a rule that kids under the age of 9 shouldn't come to shul.
Yeah.
And the Yom Naram.
Yeah.
Because they can't sit still, and we don't want younger kids in shul. Other people are like, what do you mean? The other shuls are malach. Bring your young kids to show them the start of davening. It's a different way of thinking of it.
Yeah.
So it was like these two rabbis had their own. One said, bring the kids. Others said, don't bring the kids.
Right.
They're both, have their own theory behind it. So once one was out and the other's in, he says, okay, you can bring the kids now.
Right.
Similar type of
event. Right. The Mefarshim talk about the fact that this wasn't just like an incident that happened. This was like a world view, a debate between two schools of thought, whether it's good to kind of democratize the process, have more, crowdsource the halacha a little more, and have more opinions and more raging debate, or whether it should be more the elites that kind of figure things out. And this Gemara kind of reflects those two opposing views. And there's what to be said for each side. The elites have maybe greater wisdom. On the other side, there's what to be said for crowdsourcing and having more opinions and more diversity.
Taking their opinion, it just means they're able to listen. More people can listen to what the great rabbis have to say.
Maybe listen to, but maybe also taking the opinions. Meaning the Beis Medrash was the place where they would debate all these halachos.
More like spectator.
Maybe, yeah, it could be. I don't know. But not only that, but the Gemara is about to go on to say there was kind of a flourishing of halacha, a flourishing of learning that took place, because the Gemara now says, Tana idios bobi omnishnis. This was the day, that day where they opened the gates, that was the day that they were in Masechas idios, where they just kind of paskin halacha after halacha after halacha. There was like kind of a groundswell of halachic learning and psak that took place as a result of this. V'cholhicha darminum bo bayom, and whenever, the Gemara continues, whenever we say bo bayom, whenever throughout Shas we say bo bayom, this day, they paskin, they're referring hahu yuma hava, this referring to this day when the gates were swung open. V'chayis halacha shayisa tluya b'beis medrash shelo pirshua. And in fact, there was not one halacha that was kind of on the fence where they had been debating it and had been undetermined, where on that day they didn't determine it. Meaning that was the day where they kind of ran through the whole gamut of unresolved questions and really tackled them and resolved them. Now Rav Gamliel, even though he was dejected by this and obviously was humbled by this experience, he himself didn't keep away from, there was so much excitement of learning going on, he wasn't going to stay away. He didn't stay away even one moment. And how do we know that? Because we have a Mishnah that says bo bayom, and again, bo bayom, whenever it says bo bayom, it's referring to this day. Bo bayom ba Yehuda ger Amoni ufneim, the Beis Medrash. So Yehuda, who was a ger from the nation of Amon, he came in the Beis Medrash, Amar lahem, and he said to them, Ma ani lavo bakal, what's my status? Am I allowed to join the Jewish people? Am I allowed to be a convert? I'm from Amon. And Amon is one of the nations that we identify as you cannot convert if you're from the nation of Amon. So Amar or Ben Gamliel. So Ben Gamliel, again, who takes the hardline approach seemingly consistently here, he says, Aser, Atalav Abakal. He says, no, you're from Amo, you're not allowed to join it. Amar or Rabbi Yeshua, so Rabbi Yeshua, I guess, said, now feel a little bit emboldened by the day's events. So he says, no, Mutter Atalav Abakal. You are actually allowed to join the call. Amar or Ben Gamliel, Ben Gamliel said to Rabbi Yeshua, what are you talking about? Volkfar Nemar. There's an explicit pasuk that says that someone from Amun is not allowed to join the Jewish people. Rabbi Yeshua responded, do we even know who Amun and Moab are nowadays? When you see an Ammoni or an Moavi nowadays, is that the original tribe of Amun and Moab? Kfar Ola Sancheir of Melech Ashur, Ubilbok Kola Umos. In the time of the Nevi'im, there was a Sancheirev who caused the whole migration of nation to one nation. He was Mevalva Kolomos. He mixed up all the nations, and you have no, we don't know with certainty who's from what nation anymore. Shenemer v'asir gvolos amim v'asidosem shus asir v'arid kavir yoshvim. Pasuk Yishai Yoshiyahu says that he mixed up all the nations, and therefore what looks like Amon now is not really Amon, and everything is all mixed up. Not only that, v'chol the parish miruba parish, and we have a rule in halacha that you go after the majority. If you have a mixture and one person is extracted from the mixture, that person is attributed the status of the majority. And the majority of people in the world are not Amon, right? Amon is one nation among many. So we could assume that this person, Yehuda Ger Amoni, is not necessarily from the nation of Amon, and therefore he should be allowed to join the Jewish people. So Rabbi Gamliel responded, Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Volkfar Nemar, doesn't say the pasuk Seva Acharechein Hashiva Shvus Bnei Amonu Hashem. It's true that Sancheirib mixed everyone up, but there's another nevuah that says that Hashem is going to restore all the nations to their places. Kfar Shavu, and it's already happened. Amar Rabbi Yoshua, not so fast. It didn't already happen. Val Kfar Nemar, in that same kind of theme, V'shafti Shvus Am Yisrael Vadayin Lo Shavu. There's another nevuah that says that I'm going to return the Jewish people to their land. And Vadayin Lo Shavu, and we're still in Golos. That hasn't happened yet. And so therefore, it probably means that the Nevuah that all the other nations would be restored to their place hasn't happened yet. And therefore, we could assume that we don't know who's from what nation. It's all based on Rov. And therefore, this Ger should be allowed. And the Beis Medrash followed that reasoning. Miyad, Hitiruhu Lavo Bekal. They allowed him to come into the nation. And that's what happened. So Rabbi Gamliel saw that he was having a bad day. So Amar Rabbi Gamliel, Ho'ul v'hachi hava ezel v'apaisel Rabbi Yeshua. He said, you know, maybe it's time for me to reconcile with Rabbi Yeshua and bring things back to some semblance of harmony. So he went to his house. Kimato l'beise, and when he came to Rabbi Yeshua's house, Chazinu Ashisa Debese Demeshachrin. He saw that the walls of Rabbi Yeshua's house were black. In other words, he saw that he lived in poverty. He lived in kind of an industrial environment. Amrle Mikosle Beischa Atanikar Mikosle Beischa Atanikar Shepachamiata. He said to Rabbi Yeshua, "I see from the walls of your house that you must be a blacksmith." Amrle. So Rabbi Yeshua kind of intuited that Rabbi Gamliel was either talking down to him or was surprised to see that he was living in, not in wealth, in some state of poverty. So he said, "Oylo gedor sha'ata parnaso, shi'ata yodea b'tzaron shal tamidei chachamim." He kind of throws in a little jab at Rabbi Gamliel and says, "You were the leader all these years. Woe to our generation, where the leaders of the generation don't really identify with the tzaron, with the dire circumstances of Talmidei Chachamim who live in the generation, but Mehaim Misparnasim, the fact that they have to have a tough time making a living, or Mehaim Nizunim, what they have to do to make a living." So that happens. So Amar Lo. So Rabbi Gamliel now says to Rabbi Yeshua, "Nanesi Lecha." He says, "I challenged you. I gave you a hard time in the Beis Medrash. Mecholi, please forgive me." Lo Ashkach Beis. Rabbi Yeshua was, I guess, still jarred by the circumstances of what happened, and he didn't respond to him right away. So Rabbi Gamliel said to him, "Asei bishvil kvod Abba." So Rabbi Gamliel said to him, "If you're not going to forgive me because of my own merits, at least forgive me in the merits of my father. Now, who is this father? The Mefarshim say, ultimately, that Rabbi Gamliel was the descendant of Hillel HaZaken. And there's a fascinating Rabbeinu Nissim Gaon, it's worth going through if you want, that goes through the generations, because there are a lot of Rabbi Gamliels and Shimon Gamliel, they kind of, their name repeats. It was a common name in the family. So it goes through the family tree and traces up a few generations to Hillel HaZaken. But that's who he's referring to. He's saying, if you aren't going to forgive me for my own stature, at least keep in mind that I come from greatness. In the name of Hillel HaZaken, please forgive me. And so Rabbi Yeshua forgave him. He said, okay, fine, we're good. So Amru, so they said, Ma Nezil V'leimu L'Rabbanon. Who is going to go tell the rabbis that we've reconciled and that they should make good on what happened? So I guess everyone was a little bashful to go. I guess it was because it was such a controversial thing. There was so much upheaval in the Beis Medrash that everyone was kind of not sure how to break the news to everyone else that they had reconciled. So Amru Hu Kobe, so a certain launderer was nearby, and he said, Ana Azilna. He said, I'll go tell them. Shalchuhu Rabbi Yeshua Beit Midrash. So Rabbi Yeshua sent a message through him to the Beis Medrash, and the message said as follows. It was a little cryptic. It said, Mandulavish Mada, someone who wears the, what's Mada? The coat, Rashi says. Haragol v'shamil, meaning the one who wears the coat of leadership. Yilbash, the one who wears the coat of leadership should wear the coat of leadership. The leader should be the leader, the one who he should continue to wear his coat of authority. Yilbash Mada, I'm sorry. Mandalavish Mada, Yilbash Mada, he should wear the coat. Mandalavish Mada, and the one who doesn't wear the coat, Yemerle Lamandalavish Mada, Shlach Madcha, should he say to the one who wears the coat of authority, take off your coat? Meaning Rabbi Yeshua was sending a message that it's inappropriate for us to somehow just strip the coat of authority from someone because of mistakes he made, and to put in his place someone who didn't have that authority. V'ana al-b'shei, and I should wear it, right? So as if to say, and I'm not worthy of wearing that coat of authority, meaning we should restore the authority back to Rav Gamliel. That was the message Rabbi Yeshua was sending to the Beis Medrash. So Amar Luhu Rabbi Akiva, Rabbanan, Troku Gole, Dolesi Avdi Rabbi Gamliel. So Rabbi Akiva, who was in the Beis Medrash and now received this message in the Beis Medrash, he figured this was just Rabbi Gamliel trying to cause trouble and reinstate his own authority. And so he said, lock the gates of the Beis Medrash so that the messengers of Rabbi Gamliel don't continue to bother us with these messages. We've already made our mind. Rabbi Gamliel has been deposed, and Rabbi Yeshua is in charge. We don't want this. Right? So that the messengers of Rabbi Gamliel should not come and continue to bother us. So Rabbi Yeshua realized the only way to really set things straight was for him himself to go. So I'm Rabbi Yeshua, Mutav de'ikom ve'izel, anol gabayhu. He said, I'm going to have to go myself. Asa taraf ababa. He went to the Beis Medrash, and Rabbi Yeshua himself knocked on the door. Amr lei, and he said, Maze ben maze yaze, v'sheino lo maze v'lo ben maze yaze, omer lo maze ben maze, imecha mi ma'ara v'afarachacha, v'afarcha afar makla. He said, the Kohen, who's the son of a Kohen, who has the proper authority, the Yichus, he should do the Hazah, he should do the Paraduma, he's the one who has the authority to do that. But someone who is not a Kohen, someone who is not the son of a Kohen, does he have the right to say, to criticize kind of the methods of the Kohen, to say that's not really the Mechatas, that's not really the offer of the Paraduma? He doesn't have the right to do it. In other words, he was again sending a message in a little bit of a cryptic way that authority resides in the authority figure, and someone without authority doesn't have the right to depose the authority figure. Amar Lo Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva now realized that this was an authentic message. Rabbi Yehoshua himself was saying it. So Amar Lo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said, Rabbi Yehoshua, nispayasta. You have been appeased. Hold on, just make sure it's still recording. You've been appeased. He said, you should just know The only reason we went through this whole upheaval was for your own kavod. L'machar, ani v'ata nashkim l'pischa. So he said, Rabbi Akiva said to Rabbi Yoshua, tomorrow we're going to make this right. We're going to go to Rabbi Gamliel, to his house. So Amri, hechi navid. Now they had a problem. They said, what are we going to do now? We want to reinstate Rabbi Gamliel, but now it's going to be a pechisas hakavod to Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua had been invested with this authority. We're now going to now throw him up. Rav Elazar ben Azariah. He said, what are we going to do now? We're going to throw out Rav Elazar ben Azariah. What are we going to do? Because we have a tradition, Ma'alin Ba'Kodesh Vein Moridin. You can usually only go up in authority and stature and Kodesh, but we don't take someone down. So what are we going to do? Nidrash mar chadash abasa, mar chadash abasa. If we keep both of them in place and we switch off every other week, asi laknuye, there's going to be jealousy. You can't have two leaders switching off every other week. You need one leader. Ella, the best idea is what? Lidrosh Rabbi Gamliel plus a shabasi. Rather, Rabbi Gamliel will give the drasha and shul 3 out of every 4 shabasim. Rav Elazar ben Azariah chadash abasa. And once a month, Rav Elazar ben Azariah will give the drasha. And that's the best approach to kind of keep everyone's kavod in place, put Rabbi Gamliel back in place, but at the same time keep Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as kind of the assistant rabbi. He'll speak once every month. Vahinu damar mar, and that's why we know it said sometimes Shabbos shel mi haisa, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah haisa. When they asked which Shabbos it was, people would say, "Oh yeah, this is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah's Shabbos. That's the once a month." Now the Gemara then ends off with just a few words. The also Talmud. Who was this Talmud? It's referring to the very, very beginning of the story where it said there was a Talmud who asked Rabbi Yoshua in the Beis Medrash, is Tfilas Arvis Rishus or Chova? So the Gemara says, who was the mystery Talmud that it's been a mystery this whole time? It was Rabbi Shuma Yerchai Hava. He was the one who started this whole upheaval. That's who the Talmud was. Okay, what time do I have till? I'm way behind, I guess. Should I go another 5 minutes to try to cover ground? Try to at least flip the page. Okay, so the Gemara now says, that's the story of Tfilas Arvis Rishus. As we said, we paskin Tfilas Arvis Rishus, but it doesn't mean it's really optional. It just means that if there's another mitzvah whose time is pressing, then you should do that. The Gemara then says, v'shel musaf in kol yom. We had been talking about in the Mishnah the deadlines for saying each of the tfilos. Amar Rabbi Yochanan says, v'nikra posheya. It's true that you could daven musaf all day, but if you leave musaf till the very end of the day, you're considered a poshea. You're someone who has not done the right thing. You've delayed it unduly. Tanur Rabbanan. The Bryce now says, the Gemara quotes, Hayu afanav shtei tefilos. Let's say you are faced with the following issue. It's time where you it's a time of day where you could daven 2 tefilos. Achas shel mincha, you could daven mincha, because it's already time for mincha. The achas shel musaf, or you could daven musaf, because it's already time for musaf. What do you do? Mispal shel mincha v'achar kach mispal shel musaf. So Gemara says you should daven mincha, and then you should daven musaf. Shezu tadira v'sudueinu tadira. We have a rule that tadir v'sheinu tadir kodim. Something that's more commonly performed gets precedence. Now this is fascinating because this could happen if you have a long shacharis, or think about it on Yom Kippur, right, where you're not davening musaf until, you know, your shofar blowing has taken place and stuff like that. So musaf can very easily be pushed past Mincha Gadol, where the time where you daven Mincha, right? So if you take this Gemara literally, it means that on that Shabbos morning, where you started a little late, or where your chakras is a little long, and you now are faced, the rabbi spoke a little long, you can daven Musaf, but it's already time for Mincha. So this seems to say you should daven Mincha first, and then daven Musaf, because Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir Tadir Kodem, we daven Mincha every day, we only daven Musaf once a week, and you do that first. So How do we deal with that? So Tosfos points out that this rule only goes into play when you're pressed for time, where you've forgotten to daven musaf, you've forgotten to daven mincha, and it's like the last hour of the day, the last 2 hours of the day, and you're not sure if you can get them both in maybe, or it's whatever, there's kind of a crunch, and you're not sure which to daven first. So at that point you say daven mincha first and then daven musaf. But in the ordinary course where you're doing things kaseder, you daven musaf, says Tosos, dov daven mincha. Okay, that's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Omer mispal shel musaf, v'achar kach mispal shel mincha, shezu mitzvah overis, shezu mitzvah inoveris. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, daven musaf regardless, Because remember, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said that Musaf has a deadline. So since Musaf has a deadline that's earlier in the day, Mincha goes all the way until Shkia, so therefore, or at least until Pag, according to Rabbi Yehuda, but because the Musaf deadline is earlier, Daven Musaf first, then Daven Mincha. Forget about Tadir. Amrav, Yochan Alachim Mispal Shal Mincha, V'Yachom Mispal Shal Musaf. We paskin that Musaf goes all day, Mincha goes all day, there's no deadline, and so therefore the Tadir rule is going to come into play, again, if you're in a crunch. Rabbi Zeira ki hava chawish mi girsei. Rabbi Zeira was tired of learning. Hava azol v'yasva pischa dvei Rav Nosson bar Tuvi. He went and sat by the doorway of Rav Nosson bar Tuvi. And he figured, amar ki chalfi rabbanan az eikum mikamayu v'alkabe agra. He says this is a good way of getting schar, of getting some extra points, of getting some extra mitzvahs. When the rabbanan pass by, I'll stand up, and it's a mitzvah to stand in front of the rabbanan. So that's why he sat there. Nafaki went, Asar of Nasan Bartuvi, and he went, and Rav Nosson bar Tuvi, and he went. Rav Nosson bar Tuvi went. Amar le, Man Hamar Halacha Bei Midrasha. So he said to him, what are they talking about in the Beis Medrash? Or who's paskening today in the Beis Medrash? Amar le, so he said, Hachi Amar Rav Yochanan, I ain't Halacha Rav Yehuda. Damar Spal Adam Shal Musaf Echag Smal Shal Mincha. The Halacha is not like Rav Yehuda, that you should have Musaf and then Mincha. But rather, we follow this idea of Tadir V'Sheino Tadir Tadir. Kodem Yishdav Mincha, and then Davin Musaf. Amway Rabbi Yochanan Amra.
Recording in progress.
So he responded and he said, Rabbi Yochanan really said that? That's surprising that he said that. Amra Layin, he said, yeah, Rabbi Yochanan really said that. Tanimine Arbain Zimin. So he actually made him teach him this 40 times. He kept on saying, like, Rabbi Yochanan said that? Tell me again what Rabbi Yochanan said. Tell me again what Rabbi Yochanan said. They reviewed it 40 times on the spot. So he was a little taken back, and he said, why are you making me repeat this 40 times? Why are we going over this? What's so exciting about this halacha? Amar le chada hilacha o chadas hilacha? Is this the only, chada means one, is this the singular halacha that you've heard from Rav Yochanan, and that's why you want me to repeat it so many times? Because you're so excited that this is the halacha that you know from Rav Yochanan, and you don't know any other halachas like Rav Yochanan? O chadas hilacha, or is this a new halacha? You haven't heard this halacha before, and that's why you're making me repeat it 40 times. That's why you're so excited. So Amar lo chada silach. He said, actually, it's a new halacha that I'm hearing, and that's why I'm so excited about it. That's why I'm making you repeat it 40 times. Not necessarily because it's the first time I heard this halacha, but it's the first time I heard it attributed to Rabbi Yochanan. Mishum de mesafkali Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. I had thought Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says this halacha. You're telling me now it's Rabbi Yochanan that says this halacha. That's why I'm kind of fixated on the halacha, and I've asked you to repeat it 40 times. Okay, fine. That's how we paskin that in a crunch, Tadir will set in, and you'll do mincha before Musaf. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Kol mispalot tefila shel musafin la'achar sheva shos Rabbi Yehuda alav akasiv omer goni mimoid asafti mincha. He says, if you are going to rely on Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, if you're going to rely on the ability to say tefilas musaf late, meaning you delay musaf, you push it to the end of the day, so about you it said that those who delayed the moadim are destroyed. There's a pasuk in Sefanya that says that, speaking negatively about people who delay things. My mashma da nugi gushna de tavrahu. So the word nugi there means destroyed. That it's a bad thing. You get destroyed for delaying things. How do we know that nugi means destroyed? And the grand says, "Mekim targum Rav Yosef Tavra Asi Al Sonei De Beis Yisrael Ad Achru Zmani De Ma'ad Ad Yerushalayim." It's based on this targum, this translation of Rav Yosef, that it means that they get destroyed. Amar Rav Lazar Kom Ispal Tfilah Shel Shachris La'ar Be'Achar Abeshos Rav Yuda Alav Akasav Omer Nugi Moed Asafti Mincha Hayu. Again, if you delay Shachris past the time, so it also says that you get destroyed. It's a bad thing. My Mashma Aguni Goshen De Tzara. Who says that Nugi means destroyed? Another source which seems to say that Nugi is a lashon of sorrow or destruction or sadness. Different pasuk b'suah se'ah no ghost v'imar lach, that the maidens were in sorrow. It was bitter, talking about the churban. Now the Gemara concludes with the following story. Rav Avya chalash v'asa l'pirka, the Rav Yosef. Rav Avya was not feeling well, and he didn't come to the drasha of Rav Yosef on Shabbos afternoon. Rashi explains that Rav Yosef would typically give a drasha before Masaf, like we do, when the rabbi speaks. Rav Avi wasn't feeling well. He didn't show up at the rabbi's drasha. V'machar ki asa, the next day he came. Ba'abayu anuche daite de Rav Yosef. So Abaye sensed that Rav Yosef was a little kind of annoyed with Rav Avia that he hadn't shown up at his drasha. And so Abaye wanted to make it good, and he wanted to kind of demonstrate to Rav Yosef why Rav Avia didn't show up, that he wasn't feeling well. And so Abaye, in the presence of Rav Yosef, said to Rav Avia, I'm really my time will also malo pirka. So he said to Rav Avia, by the way, why didn't you show up yesterday to the rabbi's drasha? Amrlei, so Rav Avi answered, "Dava chalish, libai, v'lomatzina." He said, "I was my heart was weak. I was not feeling well. I wasn't able to come." Amrlei, so Abaye said to him, "Amaylo ta'amta midiv asis." So he said, "Why didn't you have a little snack and then come? If you're not feeling well, just get a drink, maybe have a cup of tea, and then come. And you'll feel that you should have come." So Amrlei, so Rav Avi said, "Lo savor lamar v'ad Rav Huna." Don't you hold like Rav Huna? Damar Rav Huna, astro lo adam mishitom klum kodim shiyispal tilos masafim. Rav Huna holds you're not allowed to eat before masaf. The drasha is before masaf. I couldn't possibly have made kiddush and eaten something before masaf because we hold like Rav Huna. Amar lei. So Abaye responded, "Iboy lo lomar litzluyet slusa de masafin biyachid v'litom midei umesi." He said, "Okay, maybe that's true that we hold like Rav Huna that you can't say kiddush and eat before masaf." But you should have then just daven musaf b'yichidas, and then said kiddush and then come. Amar lei, so he said, I couldn't have done that. V'lo savor l'amar, don't you hold v'ador Rav Yochanan, who says, asur lo adam shiyachtim tefilas lo tefilas etzibor. Rav Yochanan says, you're not allowed to precede your tefillah to the tzibor. If the whole tzibor is davening musaf at 12:30 after the rabbi speaks, I can't daven musaf at 11:30 in order to catch the drasha. So Amar Lei, he said, well, that's not really true. Av Itmar Allah, wasn't it said about that halacha of Rav Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Abba b'tzibur shanu? That's only true if you're in shul. If you're in shul, and the old tzibur is not going to say musaf till 12:30, you can't stand up in the back and say musaf early ahead of them. But if you're at home, you could do it early, so that you could then make kiddush and eat and come to the drasha. And the Gemara then concludes and says, by the way, all these halachas that we're quoting, we don't pass them like. We don't pass like Rav Huna, da Amran, Rav Yoshua ben Levi. Because we hold like Rav Yoshua ben Levi, Dam Rav Yoshua ben Levi, Kevin Shigiyaz man tfilas hamincha. I'm sorry, did I just skip about? Hada Amran. I'm sorry. Rav Huna, da Amran. We don't pass them like Rav Huna. The halacha that we quoted above of Rav Huna, they are not allowed to say kiddush before musaf. In fact, you're allowed to say kiddush before musaf. This is sometimes the minhag in yeshivos. After shacharis, they have a learning.
In camps do that.
Yeah, they don't want to keep the kids starving too long. So after shacharis, they'll go to the dining room, they'll say kiddush, and then musaf comes after that. So in fact, we paskin like that. We don't hold like Rav Huna. You're allowed to say kiddush before musaf. Rav Yoshua ben Levi and Rav Yoshua ben Levi, Dam Rav Yoshua ben Levi, Kevin Shikiyaz man Tfilas Amincha, Asr lo Adam Shiyutom, Klum Kodim Shispal Tfilas Amincha. You're not allowed to eat. Where is this? Rav Yoshua ben Levi, Kevin Shikiyaz man Tfilas Amincha, Asr lo Adam Shiyutom. Oh, and we don't pass like Rav Yoshua ben Levi that once Mincha time comes, you're not allowed to eat, right? This would mess everyone up. On a daily basis, because we always, very often, we daven mincha later in the day. You have lunch, you have snacks, you eat all afternoon, and then you daven mincha. There's no such halacha that you're not allowed to eat before you daven mincha, and that's how we paskin. Okay, and we'll stop there. Shkayach.